Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Bomano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. And today I have a great mover and shaker on the show today. Her name is Caitlin Drago. Caitlin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So glad to have you here. So you are the owner of Inspire Improv and Coaching.
Yes.
And so you don't really hear the word improv with coaching, right? Too much?
Correct.
So we're going to dig into that, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to dig into your journey so far, which is not really a long one because I'm not going to ask your age, but I know you're pretty young. So just imagine where you're going to be in 10 years, right? I mean, what you've done already, it's mm-hmm. very phenomenal. And I know your big break is when you did the testimonial for me for my speaking career, right?
Oh, so absolutely.
Totally appreciate mm-hmm. that. Yeah. Well, you know what we'll do is in the show notes, I'll put a link to that too.
Great.
You were phenomenal. Thank you so much. So Caitlin, I'm going to read your bio and then we're going to dig in. So Caitlin Drago is the owner of Inspire Improv and Coaching, a New York State certified woman-owned business enterprise. Caitlin believes that our world would change drastically if people both listened to what others had to say and were living to their full potential, using their strengths and gifts on a daily basis. She is using her unconventional background as an actor turned coach to do what she can do to support individuals and companies on their way. Caitlin is both an associate certified coach through the International Coach Federation, as well as a trained actor, having spent the duration of her 20s working and studying in Los Angeles. She provides both interactive improv-based team programs for organizations looking to improve communication, collaboration, and teamwork, as well as one-on-one and group coaching services for individuals to help them get out of their own way and reach their full potential. It's nice to hear others say, you're great. Caitlin helps you to believe it yourself. Caitlin is a wife of an entrepreneur and a mother of a talkative two-year-old. She serves on the board of Rochester Women's Network and has volunteered her time with the YMCA, Monroe Reads to End Racism, and Resolve of Greater Rochester. So, Caitlin, once again, welcome to the show. And you're going to laugh. My guest tomorrow is Allie from Resolve of Greater Rochester.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty cool. What a coincidence. So lots there,
yeah.
as they say today, a lot to unpack. So let's unpack this great journey of yours already. So let's back up. So you, in your early 20s, decided that you were pretty funny and you might be an actor/comedian. Is that right?
Yes-ish. So I went to school. I got my BFA in acting at Fredonia. And that I did a short stint in children's theater in the Midwest. And then I moved to Los Angeles, where I was going to, you know, my goal was to be on a sitcom, specifically one that was filmed in front of a live studio audience, of course.
Oh, wow, yeah, yeah.
And then in the off season, I was going to be in movies, and that was my plan.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, it's not far-fetched. I can
sure.
see it, you know?
So, you know, it didn't work out exactly that way, but I did get to study with some really amazing teachers and got to be involved in some really fun projects. I went to UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade, which was the improv school that Amy Poehler and Matt Besser and that crew founded. It was actually the first nationally accredited improv school in the country. And then once I was reaching my late 20s, I decided that, you know, it's time to move on. I wasn't exactly sure what that would be precisely. But my husband and I, you know, coming from LA, I did the unthinkable of moving back home. And
is he from LA or is
he from... No, he's from Fairport. He's from the area as well, but we met in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
serendipitous.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. It worked out well when we were planning the wedding.
Right, nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so we moved back about 5 years ago, and I started my next journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to say that that part of the journey must have been incredible because the training that you received in the experience is really the basis for what you're doing today.
Exactly.
So we have a semi-similar history where, so I graduated college, and I had in college, I had done some stand-up comedy. I did the funniest person in college contest and didn't win, but I thought I was funny enough to keep on doing it. And then when I graduated college, I came back to Rochester and I won the funniest person in Rochester contest, which was not that tough to do at the time. But and then I thought it was so funny. I moved to Chicago. I had a friend taking classes at Second City at Improv Olympia. And I was 22 at the time. And I said, what the heck? So instead of LA, I went to Chicago, took acting classes, took improv classes, did stand-up comedy, things like that. In fact, you say Amy Poehler. So I only lasted a year. I realized, this is fun, but it's not my calling.
Mm-hmm.
But the training was very invaluable. But Improv Olympia is where a lot of actors or a lot of comedians get their start before they go to Second City. It's
mm-hmm.
So Chris Farley. A lot of people started there and then went to Second City.
Yep.
And so if I had stayed for one more year, so I think I left in 92, 93. If I had stayed one more year, because I still know the woman that runs Improv Olympia, her name is Sharna.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, Tina Fey and Amy just started there. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning of their career.
Right.
So I would have been performing with them, and who knows? But
who knows?
It wasn't
Isn't
meant to
that
be.
The fun question to ask yourself after you knew back from a big city?
Right.
Who knows?
Who knows? But you know what? You got to trust the path and the journey.
Exactly.
I didn't feel like I want to do this for 10 or 15 years to maybe see if I'm going to be a mm-hmm. success. God bless those who do, but it just was not my calling. But you did it for much longer, and now you're using it in your career.
Yes.
And I think, if you could do comedy, especially improv, you could do anything. I think it gives you so much confidence, not only to be on stage, but just mm-hmm. in every other area of your life, right?
Exactly. Well, and what the interesting thing about improv is that, when I ask people, what do you think about when you think of improv? They say, spontaneous, it's unscripted, it's about being funny, which that's almost a side effect of it because of the structure that is set in place. But improv really isn't about being funny. That's not necessarily what dictates whether or not you're successful. It's really about listening and working together to create something from absolutely nothing.
Right, yeah. And improv, I think improv comedians, I do think they have to be pretty intelligent and witty. Mm-hmm. And, I remember Sharna at Improv Olympia saying, read as much as you can. The newspaper, magazines, books, mm-hmm. fiction, nonfiction, because just the more knowledge you can have in your head, the more you have to pop up at that moment when you need it.
Right.
So it's almost like improv is for the really extra intelligent comedian. Right? but yeah, it just, people ask me if that was tough to do. And my first time it was crazy. I got hives. I was nervous, but mm-hmm. I remember, I didn't die. And I'm all
right. Right.
I'm still alive, and it just made me so much more confident.
Well, there's this wonderful saying in improv called that's follow your fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this idea that, you're standing off stage and you have an idea of, I think I know something that I could contribute to this. And instead of second-guessing yourself and saying, that's not good enough, I'm not good enough, all those wonderful things that we like to say to ourselves, we're encouraged to habitually step into that fear and deliver what it is that we have to offer. And that is something that I have to remind myself to do every single day that has helped me as an entrepreneur, and something that I love sharing with clients as well, to know that, that idea is coming from somewhere, and it's worth sharing with people instead of second guessing it until, it's choking it out before you even give it a chance to breathe.
A good metaphor for life too, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, Caitlin, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. I'm here with Caitlin Drago from Improv Olympia. Inspire Improv and Coaching. I love improv. I have so much fun there. Sorry. Inspire Improv and Coaching. We'll be right back.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-660-9974 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-660-9974 to take your call now. Call 877-660-9974. That's 877-660-9974. Again, 877-660-9974.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
Welcome back to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Momano, your host. I've got a great guest today, a very funny guest, Caitlin Drago from Inspire Improv and Coaching. She actually mixes coaching with improv, which is a very unique, I'll say, competitive advantage, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to, we're talking about, so her, you know, Caitlin's history began really in LA with a comedy acting, and now has infused that into her coaching experience, and we're going to really dig into that. And I have a special connection with Caitlin because I, too, gave it a shot in Chicago. And my last thing I'm going to say about that, when I went to Chicago, I used to go to Second City all the time. I didn't perform. I mean, I took classes, but I used to go and watch because I just was so enamored with the actors and the experience. So there was a guy that was just starting out on the stage, and his name was Steve Carell. And it was early 90s, right? And he was a nobody. He had just started, but he was such a standout, so funny right from there. Right from the start, he was like the star of the show. I remember after... one time I caught up with him and I just said, I'm you know, taking classes. And how did you get into this? You know? And he goes, well, my parents wanted me to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I went to law school for about 2 days and hated it. And here I am now. And I go, your parents mad at you? And he's like, oh yeah, they're like massively mad at me. But, I think now they're happy. Right. So mm-hmm. he did okay. Right.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you. So your journey, you came back to Rochester, mm-hmm. and I believe you got a job for a little while at another coaching company, right?
Yeah.
That's where I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Rammerman?
Yep. Well, at that time, yep. It was McArdle Rammerman and then turned into Rammerman Leadership Group. But that's actually a funny story because when I was interviewing with my boss, or who would later become my boss, Jim, in my interview, you know, I was being looked at for the position of an executive assistant, but I knew that there were companies in bigger cities that used improv for professional development and team building. And so figuring I had nothing to lose in my interview, I said, follow the fear. You know, I said, I have this background in theater and improv. If you want me to try that technique here, here I am. And so 2 weeks later, after I had started the position as an executive assistant, I found myself in a room of 20 professionals leading them through improv exercises to help them to communicate and listen more effectively.
So Jim was open to it.
He was open to it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, which was amazing that I happened to land at the one company with the one person who was like, yeah, let's do this. And so from there, we continued to develop that. And I was able to get my coaching certification as well. Went through a program to do that. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, then I had my son and the world changes completely.
Yeah.
And I was at a place where I was still, you know, doing some mostly administrative work, but also facilitation and coaching, and knew that eventually I would be a full-time coach, but I was ready then. I figured if I was going to be away from my son for any period of time, I had to be doing what I really, really loved. And so with all of the support in the world from Jim, I left that organization and have been working for myself for over a year and a half.
Wow.
Now.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, you know, there's a lot of our listeners are beginning entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, the thought of just like cutting the cord and like, then you're, so it sounds nice. Like, I'm going to be an
entrepreneur. Oh, yes.
I'm going to start
sounds
a business.
Lovely.
You know, I remember I quit my real job back in 95. And I thought I'd get 2 weeks, but my boss was like, yeah, we don't need 2 weeks. You can leave now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between, you know, thinking about it and actually doing it. So all of a sudden I'm having, you know, I have my box of stuff for my desk. I'm leaving my office and I'm like having an anxiety attack. I'm like, holy cannoli.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this.
Right.
Like, what do I do first? You know, and went to Office Max, bought a desk, a chair, a phone,
mm-hmm.
called my dad, put it together in my bedroom, you know, and then I just started making phone calls. But it's like, what? So when you actually cut the cord and now you're a full-fledged CEO, business owner,
mm-hmm.
what were some of the first things you did to start saying, like, I need to generate business?
Mm-hmm. So I got out there, got my name out, networked. I met with anyone who wanted to meet with me. And if they said, oh, you should go meet with that person, I went and met with that person too.
Yeah.
And it tended to be that, you know, third or fourth degree person that was the person who I actually needed to be in front of. But in the meantime, I was able to build a really great network within the community and started to make a name for myself. I spoke at different professional organizations, if they had, you know, speakers to come in and do different things. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Like Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. Rotary,
yep.
whatever, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think the biggest thing is, though, that you need to do the things that you feel like you have no business
mm-hmm.
doing.
Yeah.
You know, apply.
It's all going back to follow the fear.
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Great training.
Yeah. This last spring, I got my women-owned business certification mm-hmm. with New York State, which means that now I can apply for government contracts with
oh,
the
wow.
state. And they get to count that against their WMBE spending goal for
right.
the year, which is a wonderful program. And this RFP came up that I looked at and thought, oh, I have no business applying for this. None whatsoever. There's companies that have way more experience than me who have done this plenty of times, I'm sure. I have no business doing this. But it was too, what they were asking for was too on the nose, because what I do is so specific and unique
mm-hmm.
that I thought I have to at least try. And
got nothing to lose right,
except
yeah.
hours and hours of time yeah. spent putting together a state RFP.
Right.
But
at the very least, it would have been a good learning experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thanks to a wonderful local organization called PTAC, if you're a women-owned business looking to work with the government, they are fabulous. They're a resource and they are free. And they will help you through that process. 2 months later, I got an email that I had been awarded the contract.
Wow.
So, yeah. So those things,
just been like pitching,
I was
pitching
elated.
Yourself.
I went upstairs and I told
right.
my husband, and I was so shaken and surprised that my
yeah.
son looked at me and said, Mommy, are you okay? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm fine. I'm just yeah. very surprised.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little verklempt.
Yeah. But so those things that you look at and you're like, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Try it. You have nothing to lose. Just
yeah.
go for it. Because chances are,
yeah.
you know, although you might not have the experience that someone else does,
yeah.
if you have the skill and that different perspective and something unique to bring to the table, people are going to take notice of that.
Did you ever find out, like, why they chose you as opposed to all the other women business owners?
No.
They didn't give that feedback.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's pretty cool, though. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it must have given you great confidence to say, like, what the heck, if I can do
Absolutely.
This, let me just go for them all, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's beautiful.
Kind of
so,
like the first time I did improv with accountants. I thought, if I can do this,
right. oh
I can
God.
Do anything.
You might be too young for this, but there's a Cheers episode
mm-hmm.
of, so Norm, you know, Norm from Cheers,
mm-hmm.
And so he was a CPA. And so, you know, he was in charge of the Christmas party for his firm. And Sam, the owner of Cheers, said, well, have it here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, sounds good. And it was one of the funniest scenes of Cheers because there was like, you know, a couple hundred accountants at the bar. Mm-hmm. But it was like totally silent. Like they just didn't know what to say. You know, they're all this big rocky Christmas party. And they're all like holding a beer, looking at each other, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if you could make accountants do improv and laugh and coach them, then,
yes,
you know, you must be very talented. Thank you. So you're in your element now, a year and a half. And mm-hmm. you're, I mean, it seems like the flywheel is turning.
Yes.
So do you have some regular clients that kind of like will cover the monthly nut, as they say, and then you're just continue to network and speak and cold call and do whatever you need to do to continue to feed the funnel?
Oh, it is a combination. Yeah. You know, there are some where we're going through entire programs. Others are just kind of popping up. You know, I'm starting to get those people who have found me via my website or LinkedIn or know me from a third party connection where I'm getting away from the people who just know me in that first right. first degree.
Yeah.
You know, so the word is getting out there. When you first hear someone say, oh, I've heard about you, or someone was talking yeah. about you, it's like, oh, great. I took this fabulous business development for coaches course a few years ago. And one of the pieces that they mentioned that really stuck with me is the idea that, you know, there's this thought that you get rich and famous. But really, and neither of those are what I'm like really going for. That's not the purpose of what I do. But for the sake of the metaphor, whatever you want to call it, what really happens is you get famous first. And then you become rich. So you have to get your name out there. You have to, you know, people have to start knowing about who you are. You build a reputation for yourself. And then the yeah. regular clients start to come.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it basically you're providing really good value.
Yes.
And that's going to, one by one, attract clients. And they stick. Right?
Exactly. So,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. And sure, the money's will come and you make a nice living. But I sense from you, like, yeah, money's going to be nice, but you're not doing it for the money. I mean,
right.
you're doing it because you're really getting in line with your true strengths and talents, mm-hmm. and kind of just you know, pushing those to their maximum potential to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you know, as that movie says, if you build it, they will come. Right? So,
yes.
No, that's fantastic. And so I noticed in your bio you talk about maximizing strengths, mm-hmm. and I just took the Gallup Strength Finder assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever take that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't remember mine offhand. Positivity was number one.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, inclusive. So I'll have to look it up. But I found it fascinating. And I'm really going to dig more into it to make sure that mm-hmm. I'm spending 95% of my time maximizing those top five strengths mm-hmm. and just knowing what my weaknesses are solely for the fact so that I know what to stay away from.
Right.
And so you obviously know your strengths in a big way. And you're just saying, you know, Let me dive into my strengths and just completely get some mojo going. And mm-hmm. you've got mojo. I can see in your eyes.
Yeah.
You pinch yourself and you have to say to yourself, like, I'm getting paid to do this. Like, you love doing it anyway.
Yes.
Right? You know? Mm-hmm. It's like football players. They get paid to play football. Nice, right?
So, yeah.
So let's dig into a little bit about how you actually mix improv into your coaching.
Because mm-hmm.
people may say, oh, is she just like telling jokes while she's coaching? And,
right.
It's probably not the correction
no.
that you do. So give us some little scoop on that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So what I do is I take the principles from improvisation and teach those to participants so that they can be better communicators and better listeners. So the number one rule in improv is that we're always saying yes. And so that means whatever idea or concept or situation comes at you, you are to listen to it, say yes to it, and then add on your own piece. So you're building something together with your partner out of nothing in collaboration. And this really flies in the face of our tendency when we're faced with something that we're uncomfortable with to immediately say no to it, shut it down, this is why it can't work, usually before we've even really heard the other person out. Mm-hmm. So what I do is put people in this structured situation where they are forced is a strong word, but encouraged to follow this structure of saying yes, listening to each other, and adding on to one another's ideas. And just that act of slowing down and really actively listening to the person that's in front of them does a few things. You know, it gets you in the present. You're not thinking, you're not trying to think 10 steps ahead because you can't. You're building it line by line, so you can't have the whole thing figured out. And it's building trust with that person because you shift from possibly being the person who, when people come to you, you say no, or maybe you don't completely listen, to being that person who maybe you're not going to say yes to everything. That would be silly. But they know that they can come to you and you will listen to them. They will be heard. They will be valued. And so, one, they're going to continue to come to you with their great ideas. And also, they're going to come to you when there's problems too. It's not, you know, they're not going to be afraid to come to you because you're going to shut it down. So it's opening up those lines of communication and opening up those possibilities as well. The other big principle in improv is that we're always looking to make each other look good. So you're talking about like getting the laughs on stage and everything. So when you're watching improv and you see the person who's getting all of the laughs, they're a good improviser. But the person who is setting them up for the laughs is the person who is the great improviser. Because instead of looking out for themselves and thinking, oh, what's the witty thing that I'm going to say? They're looking for ways to play to their team's strengths and support one another.
They're being a servant leader.
Exactly.
It very relates, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so much to talk about there. We do have to take a quick break.
Sure.
We'll be right back. I'm here with Caitlin Drago from Inspire Improv and Coaching. I'm Dave Amato. You're listening to the Avanti Entrepreneurs Show, and we will be right back.
Weekday evening 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC. The Dow tumbled 450 points last hour as the Wall Street volatility continues. Right now, the Dow is down 442, the NASDAQ 116, the S&P 39. Two stocks are standouts, though. Twitter up about 20%. The expansion to 280 characters and more video options was a winner. More users checked in every day. Ad sales were up. Twitter turned its first profit ever. Grubhub up 28% today. That company's delivering more food, and now will add KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell to the products it delivers. Tyson Foods will give most of its workers a bonus of up to $1,000 thanks to its tax break. CVS will also hand out bonuses and raise pay, minimum pay, to $11 an hour. Crude oil down under $61 a barrel because shale producers pour more oil on the market. And Goodyear paid more for oil to make its tires, held profits down, but it still sold more 17-inch tires for all those big SUVs. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
Spearfishing has or will strike your business, wreaking havoc on your employees, brand, and your bottom line. Spearfishing can't be stopped by traditional email security solutions because messages appear to be legitimate from your boss, a trusted colleague, or a vendor asking you to wire money, confirm login credentials, or worse. Barracuda Sentinel is artificial intelligence for real-time spearfishing and cyber fraud defense. Reclaim your email in minutes with zero impact on network performance. Visit barracuda.com/AI.
Only one event unites the world. The 2018 Winter Olympics.
And there it is! Shaun White, double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
See the world's best.
Lindsey Vonn is a gold medalist.
And see the world at its best.
To the finish, the Kaelin Schifrin wins gold for the U.S.
The 2018 Winter Olympics, coming February 8th, only on NBC.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic bed.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic adjustable bed. These aren't actors. They're real people who sleep better every night thanks to their Craftmatic adjustable bed. Just call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118 for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself and see how little they cost. Rated number one nationwide on consumeraffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. So if you've ever had a bad night's sleep, wake up sore, stiff, with back, neck, or shoulder pain, call for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself. See how little they cost. Call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118. 800-410-6118. Call now.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
Welcome back to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato. I'm here with Caitlin Drago from Inspire Improv and Coaching. We just were talking about how Caitlin infuses improv into coaching, into being a good leader. And it's all about saying yes and, where a lot of people will say yes but. Mm-hmm. And I had a coach one time that really helped me with that word. Basically, he said, if you say the word but, you're basically negating everything before that word.
Absolutely.
Like, great idea, Caitlin, but, so you're like, but it sucks. I'm not going to use that. Here's what I think you should do. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying.
Right.
And so you're framing the issue. You're making yourself, a lot of leaders and just people in general in the organization like to play God, like to have all the answers, like to get credit for the advice.
Yes.
So what you're saying is, just like good improv is, and just relating it, the metaphors being a servant leader, just like improv, you are the hero when you are setting somebody else up to look good.
Right.
For success.
And sometimes it takes, the best thing you can do as a leader is to support that person on your team, is to take that moment to take a step back and let go of your grand idea that you have in order to serve and support somebody else so that they can really succeed.
And, it would appear to me you would be making your job as a leader easier because you are inspiring confidence, and you're a good leader, creates more leaders. So that person is going to be less likely to come to you with every single problem, issue, question. You're basically empowering them and giving them the confidence to solve more stuff on their own.
Right.
And that's great. The less you have to do, the better, right?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And I love, so when you ask about how do I infuse the improv with the coaching, so the way is, you know, exactly what you're talking about. The coaching piece comes in when it's, okay, so we've learned this skill, we've learned this idea. So now how are you going to implement that in your own professional or personal life? So as coaches, our job is not to come in and say, hey, here's what I think you should do, because I don't know as much about that person or their position or their company as they do. So it's my job as a coach and facilitator to help them to make that correlation and to identify the specific ways that they're going to implement that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. One thing I learned as well when I was leading my previous company, which was the magazine, was, and you kind of mentioned this, like, you know, you ask for feedback and thoughts, but you can't take them all.
Right.
You can't listen to everybody all the time. At the end of the day, you're the leader, and you're going to have to make some calls, right? And but what I found out is, instead of just making the decision and not telling anybody why, because that doing that, like, what I have found is people are less likely to come back to you.
Yes.
Because they feel like they were not listened to. So what I eventually figured out is, if I'm soliciting feedback, and then I'll take all the feedback, which, you know, advice is like a buffet. You can't eat it all, right? You can't take it all. So I'll eventually make the decision that I think is the best decision based on listening to the team. But I'll explain why I made it. I'll get everybody together. Hey, thanks for all the feedback. Here's some of the things I heard. Here's what I decided we're going to do based on that feedback. And here is why. And just explaining that, they're like, all right, well, he did listen to me. And okay, I understand his thinking. And maybe that's a better decision. But at least I was heard.
Right.
And so that empowers people to come back and continue to give feedback instead of thinking like, He didn't listen to me. I'm never going to offer feedback again.
Exactly. And you're making it a collaborative conversation. It's not a one-sided thing.
Right. Yeah. Love it. Mm-hmm. So are you still doing improv? I mean, do you still like dip your foot in that pool a little bit, or business, mother, wife?
Yeah. So when I was a member of Jiva Comedy Improv for a couple of years. The last show that I did, I was 7 months pregnant.
Wow.
And so after I had my son, and especially after I decided to build my own business, that has gone on the back burner. I'd love to do a drop-in class here that I got to visit, got to go back and visit some friends in LA about a year ago, and went to a drop-in class at Second City, and it was like, oh, yes. So it's definitely one of those things that it's a skill that needs continuous sharpening. Yep. Yeah, you know, people look at improv like, how do you practice improv? Like, well, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, there is a specific set of rules and principles that each improviser is following. So even people who are rule followers and really like structure, that is provided within improv as well.
That's great. People always ask me, am I going to go back to comedy? And, you know, so what I think I might do someday is go into, like, nursing homes and start and just, you know, perform some comedy.
Yeah,
you know?
Why not?
I'll do it for free. I'll be providing a service. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can't hear me, which might be better, you know. So, I think I could have some fun with that. So we'll see. We'll see, you know.
Well, and the thing is, we're improvising all day long.
Absolutely.
We're doing it right now,
You know, I gave you some questions in advance. Have I asked you one of them?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah.
So it's we're just sharpening a skill that we already have.
Yeah, very cool. So I wanted to ask you some of your personal habits for success.
Sure.
What do you do as a business person now, a business owner, to stay on top of your trade? Okay. Are there some daily, weekly, monthly habits?
So, especially in this new year, I have made it a habit to meditate on a daily basis.
First thing in the morning or what?
Whenever I can get it in.
Yeah, all right.
You know, I love all those things. It's like, oh, it's great to meditate as soon as you wake up. It's like, well, if your toddler is waking you up, that's not necessarily an option.
You're in the benefit of the doubt stage, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly. But, you know, taking that time to step away and just give yourself some space. I think that also leads into something else of stepping away from your business completely at certain points of the day or certain points of the week, going in doing something that has nothing to do with it, because especially when you're running your own show, it's really easy to be thinking about it all the time. And we need to give that a break.
Yeah, sometimes. Oh, I agree. You have to take some time just to reconnect the synapses.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
How long do you meditate for? 5-10 minutes?
It depends on how much time I have.
Right.
Until you hear the baby. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's a half hour.
Wow. I've never been able to
on the weekend when he's taking a nap, you know, treat myself. Well, I do the guided meditations.
Yeah.
So I can just sit and listen to some meditation music for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and do my own visualization or whatnot.
Yeah.
But if it's any longer than that, I like to do a guided
one. What, do you use an app?
I use YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the nice thing is you can search for, you know, if there's something specific that you're looking to work on, positivity, you know, relaxation, whatever that is, there's likely to be a random YouTube video
free.
For that. Yeah,
totally
well, it's great.
I know some people use Headspace, which I know there's the cost to it. I forgot how much. And then there's another one. A friend of mine, his friend started called Meditation Studio.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $10, and they have a lot of guided meditation. You know, so you could, if you need a pep talk, if you need sleep help, if you need positivity, if you need to conquer the world, like all these different ones. And so, you know, I've been the past year, I've started meditating too, as much as I can. I would say I do a good four or five days a week, 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If I have my perfect morning, I'm up at 5.
Uh-huh.
I say a prayer, I meditate, I read, I exercise, I have lots of water, and a healthy breakfast. That's my, like, miracle morning.
I was just going to say, someone mentioned miracle mornings to me just a couple of days ago.
So, and I get those in, you know, maybe 2 mornings a week. But, you know, this past couple of weeks, if you can tell by my coughs, So I have three kids in different schools. I have one kid that's in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
I have one kid who is in junior high, and I have one kid who is in high school. And they're each bringing their own buffet of germs home.
Yes.
And I'm like, I feel better, and then I get sick again. I'm like, all right, it's your turn to give me a cold. Okay,
yep.
Thank you so much. But I like to think that I would be a lot sicker if I wasn't doing all this healthy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I'm telling myself in my mind. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about books? Are there any, like, let's say someone's going to start a business and you want to say, and it's Christmas time, and you want to give them a book for a gift or two. What
so there is a book that I actually read with a client because I do, you know, in addition to the group programs, I also do just traditional one-on-one leadership or life coaching as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my clients was in a transitional state, and we actually read a book together called Pivot.
Okay.
It was written by a woman who was at Google, and then she started a blog and was trying to figure out if she wanted to leave Google to go start her own business.
Right.
And what I really love about the book is that it not only addresses those logistical pieces of you know, maybe testing out the idea before you jump ship,
yeah.
And looking at the finances and what makes sense, but it also addresses some of those mindset pieces too of, you know, what's getting in the way of you just going for it.
Right.
And what do you need to do to help you to make those really important decisions? So that's great. Pivot by Jenny Blake. And then there's another book by a coach. Her name is Tara Moore, and it's called Playing Big.
Hmm. I've heard of that book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fabulous.
Very
that's
cool.
Another
is
really
this about
good one.
Basically increasing the size of your fish tank?
No, it's so it's about, you know, we think about playing small, like kind of staying in our comfort zone and
yeah.
staying where we feel safe.
Yeah.
And it's about really stepping out of your comfort zone and living into the bigger purpose that you have, or, you know, the bigger thing that you are meant to do or that you can do. And again, it really addresses some of those mindsets. It talks a lot about your ego versus your intuition mm-hmm. and some different kinds of fear and how to identify those and what to step into, what not to step into. And it's, yeah.
Yeah. So once again, mm-hmm. going back to follow the fear.
Follow the fear.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
What?
Yeah.
So now that you've had your business for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you conquered a lot of your fears, right? Probably things that you thought you could never do a year ago,
mm-hmm.
you're doing no problem now, right?
Absolutely.
You're like, I was scared about that. No problem, right?
Yeah.
We're
going to
pretend.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
What scares you now, like today? What is your fear? Like, what is your next big thing that you're going to, what is your Mount Everest, you know? Is there something that scares you a little bit? Like, if you could do something
yeah.
that literally would just scare the living baloney out of you, what would that be?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is a TED Talk.
Hmm.
I applied. I can't say. I should not say this on the radio because then if I don't get it, no, that's fine. But I think that, again, it's one of those things like, I don't think I have business doing for it,
yep.
so I'm going to apply anyway. So I've applied, you know, a couple of times to a couple of different TED Talks. Yeah, to the local ones.
The local ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and again, so for me as a facilitator, I'm just now, as a facilitator and coach, what I really enjoy is getting people up on their feet and getting them to do improv and learning by doing and learning by play and then mm-hmm. facilitating those great conversations and discussions
yeah.
afterwards. Honestly, what I'm not a huge fan of is creating my own talks and speeches, but I've been starting to do it in smaller ways. I did my first keynote for the Junior League of Rochester this last December.
Great.
And I survived.
You
the
made
world
it.
Did not.
It did not kill
it did
you.
Not kill me.
Yes.
And so I think getting into some more of those speaking engagement type things. I know that I have the skills to do it. I think that as a performer myself, my own level of expectations is really high, and so sometimes when your own expectations are so high, it can get in the way of you doing anything.
Right.
So I'm trying to actively do that, even though it may not be perfect right out the gate, and let that be
and
okay.
And it probably won't, and that's okay.
Mm-mm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
okay. So Well, excellent. I'm surprised you haven't done a TED Talk yet. In my mind, I thought you had already.
Mm-mm,
so,
not yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I did a workshop at TEDx Rochester last year.
Okay. Well, I will come and watch you.
Great.
I did a TEDx talk a few years ago, and I was nervous. And and you have to. The toughest thing I think about doing a TED Talk is 15 minutes or less. And you know, for me to talk only 15 minutes, it was. I mean, usually the presentation I give is at least an hour, so I had to really cut and just get the nuggets out. But it's a great experience, and I'm sure at some point you're going to be doing a TED Talk. And
I look
forward to it. And you're going to be phenomenal.
Thank you.
I'm sure at some point you're going to be giving a talk to thousands of people. I could, you know, picture you in Madison Square Garden giving a talk. I could see it.
I love it.
I want front row seats. So, and I just thought of this too. I have to thank another coach, Maria Kess, who suggested, and I was thinking about it anyway, because I've known you for quite a while now, to have you on the show, but she suggested that, and she was on the show a couple weeks ago, and she's a great coach as well. She's a John Maxwell coach, and she brings something different to the table. And I love the uniqueness, because I think the, you know, the coaching world has become, I'll say, quote unquote, littered with like almost too many coaches. It seems like everyone's a coach, you know, and so it's, you know, certification certainly adds some credibility, but also just having a unique advantage, you know. So yours is improv, hers was John Maxwell. You know, for me, I like to help people just start businesses, take that messy birth of a baby and get cleaned up and ready to go.
That is a really interesting visual. Thanks.
We're all for you. Yeah, yeah. I could, you know, congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
In the final minute here, if people do want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
My website is inspireimprov.com.
Okay.
And all of my contact information is right there. You can also connect to me on LinkedIn, and I have a Facebook page as well, Inspire Improv and Coaching.
Very cool. And if you want to see her give a great testimonial, go to davidmamano.com, click on speaking. There's a little, what do they call the sizzle reel?
Yes.
My little video, and you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate that. I know that you were drinking that day, and I appreciate the extra
lots of coffee
you put into that. So, well, thanks again, Caitlin. Truly appreciate it. Caitlin Drago from Inspire Improv and Coaching. You're a great guest, and we'll have to have you back on because I feel like we could talk so much more.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So thanks for your time. And I also want to thank our Avanti guests. I appreciate your time. Last but not least, if you or somebody you know would like to be on the show, please email me, david@davidmamano.com, and that's M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Always looking for great guests. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Make it a great day, and stay awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.